Please lead us in the pledge.
Please, Ryan.
Okay, there are no announcements out of closed session. I'll turn it over to Amy Bernhardt, our student representative to the board.
And then the next is the MCAA school report. The winter ball was March 11th at the Alan Scott Youth and Community Center. It was very well attended and the theme was Around the World. MCAA held a blood drive on March 17th, which was organized by the school's Excel Club. Also, March 17th, MCAA showcased its vocal talent musical production known as Musicality. Musicality was held at the Alan Scott Youth and Community Center. MCAA drama students and musicians are currently rehearsing for the production of Pajama Game. Pajama Game will feature a live orchestra. This production will be held outdoors at the MCAA backstage beginning May 3rd. There will be a Sadie Hawkins dance at the MHS cafeteria on Friday, April 7th. There will be a PTSA meeting on Monday, April 3rd at 6 p.m. Our annual PTSA fundraiser, the Walk for the Arts, will be Thursday, April 20th during 9th block. There will be prizes and a chance to throw a pie at one of your favorite teachers. The prom will be Saturday, April 29th and will be held at the Marysville Elks Lodge. The next report is from Marysville High School. The most recent Link Crew freshman event we had was a kindness appreciation in which took place on March 3rd. We believe this helped make an improvement in our school. We are currently getting ready for next year's Link Crew team. For the month of March, Marysville High School has started their March Madness. March Madness is when for the entire month of March, there are dress-up days for the student body to participate in. We do this in hopes of giving students a way to participate in school activity and bring joy to the campus. Some of these dress-up days include Class Shirt Day, Socks and Sandals Day, and Tacky Tourist Day. We are now in our last dress-up week. The week includes dress-up days such as Woke Up Like This Wednesday, Throwback Thursday, and Fancy Friday. On March 24th was our annual Sadie's. It was put on by the sophomore class, and the theme was Blacklight. The dance was very successful, and many left in great spirits. The sophomore class was able to raise money for putting on next year's prom. The Sadie's dance was from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. in the MHS cafeteria. The junior class has picked Once in a Blue Moon as their prom theme and will be selling prom tickets in the beginning of April for prom on May 6th. Student Council has just finished their Pennies for Patients project and has raised over $400 for the nonprofit organization by making it a class competition to see what classroom could raise the most money. It was extremely successful, and we are grateful to help the charity. Leadership is also starting to plan and put together our annual SELC Student Election Leadership Conference for all incoming leadership students who will be applying for next year. These are the recent, past, and upcoming events that the Associated Student Body at Marysville High School has completed and will complete for the month of March.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Our next item is applicants for Trustee Area 1. This is a discussion item. We had one applicant, Mr. Randy Davis. Is Mr. Davis with us? Oh, hi. Do you have anything to say? This is a discussion item. You're welcome to the podium.
Try to be brief. No, I am very interested in the board. My application showed you that I grew up here, then moved away from that retired here. So I'm looking as a retiree, you kind of look around, see what kind of things are going on and what kinds of things you might be interested in getting involved with. And the board is certainly important to this community, and it's educational advancing. And I've always believed in a very strong educational system. So other than that, unless you have questions, from what I provided you, that's all I'd like to say for now.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments? No. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we do have one addendum to the agenda, and this is under Board of Trustees, provisional appointment of Trustee Area 1 vacancy. The purpose of this item to request the board make a provisional appointment for Trustee Area 1 that became vacant on 2/10/17 for the unexpired term of office through 2018. If there's no discussion, is there a motion?
I so move.
Motion by Mr. Allison. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Fleury, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Karen, next we move to our school report from Yuba Gardens Intermediate School.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Carrie Isles, principal at Yuba Gardens, for those of you behind me that don't know me.
I'm Heather Strickland, vice principal at Yuba Gardens.
And so I thought I'd just elaborate on some of the points that are in the letter that I wrote to you, or the update, rather. We are continuing to work on PBIS, which we call PRIDE, and what we're most proud of this year is our full implementation of Tier 2 and 3 that comes with some pretty neat supports for our most at-risk students, that 5% of our population that we really work diligently with. And so we're really, really proud of our fifth year implementation, that piece is getting stronger and stronger. And then thank you to those of you that attended our fundraiser for supplying the money for our efforts towards recognition for not only our students, but our staff also. And so this year we raised almost $18,000. Our evacuation messed us up a little bit. But thank you to those of you that came and enjoyed that with us, because that money really allows us to push that program for our students. And then along with that, we invite you at any time. Once a month, we offer a PLUS forum, which is a complement to our PRIDE program. It's an inclusion model for kids that kind of just don't feel like they belong on our campus. And so this is our second year implementing that piece also. So if you're interested in that, let us know at any time, and we'd love for you to come see that. As you know, Maria Nielsen's been in our district and at our school site, and as we work towards that guaranteed and viable curriculum next year, she'll be with us for 8 days once a month working with our staff. And so we're really looking forward to, and I know our staff is, creating those benchmarks ourselves and really being able to look at student achievement. And so we're looking forward to that next year also. The other thing I wanted to thank you for and continue to thank you for is our incredible music teacher in our music program that is running full board, and also a fantastic counselor that supports all of our support pieces we're working so hard on at Yuba Gardens. And the other thing we invite you to is we are awarded the Comcast CARES grant, and so we're receiving thousands and thousands of dollars of free campus beautification. So we'll have 300 people at our school site on the 22nd of April. So if you want to come witness all that chaos, but the end result will be fantastic, so please stop by. And then finally, I put a note. We're excited and kind of wondering how it'll go, but we have another 100 students coming next year, so we're looking forward to that, too. And I don't know if you have any questions for us.
Carrie, I just had a comment regarding the PLUS program. I think it's a fabulous program where you're having leaders teach leaders and students, because students listen so much better to other students. So the forums in the PLUS program are really, really valuable. So
yeah, and it's
you.
Not that leadership student. It's that student that can really hook those kids in. It's phenomenal.
And they care about the program a lot, too. They just, I think this week did one, but weekly have been doing a thing they call Come Sit With Us. And so they take part of the cafeteria and they decorate it, and they, based on teacher recommendations and then just kids that they see who don't have someone to sit with or maybe are kind of alone, and they bring them all in and sit with them and kind of make them part of the PLUS program. So it's really, they have a lot of ownership for that.
I just would like to say you've done an amazing job out there. I saw a turnaround, and it just goes to show what good leadership makes a difference. You and Heather are very good, as you know. I'm very familiar with the Oliver's community, raised there, lived there, and I hear nothing but compliments about what a good job you're doing. And your staff members always quick to point out, don't move Carrie anywhere. We love her.
Thank you.
So you've really done a great job. Both of you are an amazing team.
Thank you, Carrie. Comments from board members. Ms. Scott?
Oops. Hello to everyone out there. I would just like to let you know that I have been to several schools this week. One school that I was at was MCAA, and I was there to participate with the WAS committee. And I always would say to the parents, you all have done so well with your students, and when you do well with your students, they bring it to school, and it just shows in the school with the staff and the participation that you all have. And I would just like to say to you all to please keep up the good work, because I know how engaged and I know how important it is to you. I also would like to say that I had an opportunity to visit Linda School, as to where we were able to have lunch with the students there and to witness, like, when a student has a birthday, they take the student going through the lunch line, and all the cafeteria workers will sing happy birthday to the student, and then they will give him a pencil of their choice. And that's good to let them know that they are recognized now, just not only at home but also at school, and their little friends sing with them just as well. So I still have a long ways to go, and I'm still having a great time doing what I'm doing. So I thank you all very much.
Mr. Crawford? Mr. Fleury.
Well, the two that have gone above and beyond is I've visited several schools this week. But the one thing I've noticed driving by the maintenance, they have really cleaned up that area out there. And I understand the workers did it, and even the secretary pitched in on her own to help clean that up. And that's above and beyond to make something better that they're not paid for. Also, I was on the WAS team along with Randy and Susan. And for the other board members that have not read that report, I would hope you'd look at it. It really shows what a great job they're doing at MCAA. I was on the WASC report 6 years ago when the man came, the head of it, from Reading. And he said that in his 41 years of education, he has never seen a school operate like this. And he said, if I had lived closer, I would bring my grandson down there. And I went to the exit review also, and they said it was an amazing school. They had nothing but compliments, and they did say the one thing that is the problem, they can see it's going to be facilities. And that's the one thing that came out in the report. But every one of the staff got on committees, worked hard, and that's a lot above and beyond in parents. And so we're lucky to have a school of this way.
Mr. Rasmussen.
I would just like to thank everybody in the audience for coming tonight. It's nice to see the room filled.
Okay, Mr. Allison.
You guys have all said pretty much what I wanted to say, so I have no further comment.
Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Okay, thank you, Inga. Operating Engineers Local Union 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. Okay, public comments. I have several public comment cards tonight. Couple of things, comments limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, please. 20 minutes per input on each item per board law 9323. And because of the Ralph Brown Act that prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments, it doesn't mean we're not listening, but because of the Brown Act, it's not an agendized item. We can't respond back other than questions of clarification. So the first one I have is Wes Larson on, looks like, Boy Scouts of America.
Good evening, folks. Wes Larson, Golden Empire Council, Boy Scouts of America. Mr. President and members of the board and Superintendent Todd, it's thank you for the opportunity to make a short, brief presentation. I have three purposes. First, to introduce myself. Secondly, I've given you a packet that's there in front of you. It's our annual report that we're making to next Wednesday to the governor and other constitutional officers, as well as legislative leaders in Sacramento, regarding report on scouting in California. Thirdly, is to ask your assistance to help us in partnering with us. Scouting is important to parents. Where we need your help is in recruiting young boys, in particular kindergarten, first, second, third grade. Minority and low-income families are very difficult to get into, and that's who we want to reach. Affluent families, they find us. And so the schoolhouse is really the gateway for us to reach parents, minority parents in particular. And we're hoping that I can have a conversation with you, how we can partner. We view ourselves as a outdoor laboratory of what you do in the classroom. And so partnering with leadership, character, citizenship, physical fitness, and other elements that scouting in particular offers, we'd like to partner with you as educators. I have that report before you. I'd like to visit with you, and I thank you for your time. The strength of Marysville Unified School District is your children and your parents, your families. Boy Scouts of America will strengthen boys, will strengthen families, and will strengthen the Marysville community. And so we're here to work with you and help you. Thank you for your time, and I hope you have a successful meeting this evening.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Larson. Okay, next I have Linda Summers.
Thank you. My name is Linda Summers. I am the president of the MCAA PTSA.
And I am the vice president, Michelle Stewart.
And I'm going to take a very brief amount of time just to give you some statistics about where MCAA ranks among other local schools. This information comes from U.S. News School Rankings. This is the 2016 rankings. It is from the 2013-14 school year. Under College Readiness Index, MCAA ranks at 24.4. Marysville High School ranks at 6.5. Lyndhurst ranks at 10.6 and Yuba City High School ranks at 16.2. Under math proficiency, MCAA comes in at 84%, Marysville High School 64, Lyndhurst 45, and Yuba City High School 68. English proficiency, MCAA comes in at 77%, Marysville High School 52, Lyndhurst 31, Yuba City 58. Graduation rate for MCAA is 100%. Marysville High School is 93, Lyndhurst is 91, and Yuba City is 93. MCAA has a 42% advanced placement participation rate. Marysville High School has 9%, Lyndhurst has 23%, Yuba City has 26%. Out of 2,399 schools, MCAA ranks in the top 18% of high schools in California. They rank in the top 11% of charter schools in the United States. So that's why we are here today, to let you know how proud we are of the school. And even though we are a performing arts school, our kids work really hard at everything. So we
How much time do we have? Do we have an extra half a minute or so? We're basically coming to you for the purpose of making you aware, if you're not already aware, of how hard our students and our parents and our staff work at Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. We're in a predicament right now where our auditorium, which we utilize almost every day with our school for every part of drama, art, tech club, which does the lighting, the sound, Kuxulwan, which does their exercise program, our graduation, and all of these events that take place at our auditorium, which is right here, is no longer available to us, as we've been made aware. And we're in drastic, desperate need of assistance in any way possible, whether it be financial, whether it be just your hearts open to helping us to find a way to get another auditorium built, possibly on the back lawn, possibly work on this one. I don't know if that's even a possibility, because I don't know the details. Or there's other options that we have. We have three or four of them, which we don't want to go into because we have more time. We'll talk more about it. But we want to open your hearts right now to think about the desperate need that we are in to be able to get these kids through this school in this area. Obviously, with these results, it's great for the district, and we don't want to see them fall. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And thank you, Wes. Where'd you go, Wes? Did you leave? Thank you, Wes, for Boy Scouts of America, for coming to speak to our board as well.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for those comments. I apologize if I mispronounce somebody's name. Leah Pestens.
My name is Leah Pastana, and I have a ninth grader that attends MCAA. Thank you guys for hearing us today and our concerns regarding the damaged theater. In 2009, there was a plan for many schools in the area to get new buildings. My understanding is the money ran out before all of them were built. MCAA at that time was supposed to get a new theater, dance studio, band room, choir room, costume room, media room, and gym all in one facility. Currently, MCAA students have to cross a busy highway to PE, which is very dangerous. The students of MCAA see the money being spent, $850,000 plus at each Marysville and Lyndhurst for new gym floor, bleachers, and football field. And they wonder, when will it be their turn? Often feeling like they get the leftovers or hand-me-downs, MCAA students have made the best out of what they have. They take pride in their productions, and they enjoy being able to include the community in their events. I understand money is tight. In fact, it always will be. You're never going to have that kind of money just laying around as extra. Using a building such as the South Auditorium is only putting a Band-Aid on the issue at hand. The students of MCAA need a place of their own. If a new facility cannot be funded by the district, we are requesting by next public meeting a location of the new building to be decided upon. At that point, we can explore other funding options, including the California Charter Facilities Program. But we cannot start this process without where will the building be. The location from the 2009 plans have had other buildings placed there since then. Please partner with us on making a place for MCAA students to create, inspire, thrive, and call home. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Leah. Next is Molly Enderton.
I saw my first MCAA production in the Marysville Auditorium in 2006. It was the first semester before my brother attended school there. It also happened to be the day I started counting down until I could. I am an active member of both the drama and music department at my school. Performing is my passion, but that's very difficult to do without a place to perform. Just like it would be very difficult to play football without a football field. The auditorium was always the heart of our school and was a magical place for all of those who had the pleasure of being a part or seeing a production there. I ask that future classes have the opportunities I have had to create magic in a space for performing. Thank you.
Okay, next we have Pippa Fusich. Hopefully I pronounced that right.
Hello, my name's Pippa Fusich, and I am also a student at the Marysville Charter Academy for the Performing Arts. I am a junior. I'm active in drama and dance productions and music productions, and the theater at our school is such a big part of its culture, and it's such a big part of students' learning and the student experience, and it's also a big pull for people to want to come to our school. It's the reason that myself and many of my friends decided to come to our school after seeing performances and such. So I just worry about the future of MCAA if we weren't to have a facility to do our shows. So everyone pretty much already said everything, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Joseph Morales.
Okay. Hello. My name is Joseph Morales. I also am a student from Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. I am a junior, and I've been going to Marysville Charter since the 7th grade. I'm a drama student, and I've been doing theater since the 8th grade. The theater and having a proper place to showcase our arts is very important to me. But it's not just for me and my drama peers. Many classes use the theater. Dance, musical instrument classes, choir, drama, martial arts. I used it for a French class when we did a whole French play to help us learn the language. We use it to showcase our video editing and photography classes projects. And we as a school, we use it for full body community meetings and graduations. The theater is a home for all of us. Having a makeshift theater and having to arrange places to show our arts, what our school puts so much effort into, encourages and discourages us. Some feel the need to work through the situation until the day we have somewhere good to perform, and some of us just want to give up our arts, because why do their talents without a proper place? And as time goes by, more people feel like this. And if more people give up their arts, then what's the point? What's an art school without the arts? A school. I didn't come to Charter for a normal school. This is my home, a safe place where I can feel like I can do anything I want because that's what we allow. And if we let our creativity stop, then why continue going to this school? What makes us different? We need a place to properly show our art. Thank you.
Okay, Richard Valentini.
Hi, Board. Randy, when did your hair get gray? Anyway, I'm a student at MCAA. They worked me so hard, my hair turned gray. No, I tutor there a couple mornings a week. And ironically, when I was MUTA president, 29 years ago, I started speaking in front of this board. But ironically, I was against MCAA because I was taught at Lyndhurst and Marysville High, and I thought, what do we need another high school for? What's it going to do? But I realized when I started working for my health care, what a great school this was. Just the way that it's organized, and not that it's better than the other schools, not that the teachers are better or the students are better, but it's the atmosphere that's created there for the 7th and 12th grade. I had never stepped on a campus, and I worked on both sides of the river, Sutter County, Yuba County, and that's created for that. And so, it's funny not to see Glenn Harris up there, but welcome, Susan. I just had some notes I wanted to say. You know, when I look at this building, being from New England, I was taught in junior high in a classroom that was taught by Nathan Hale back in the 1760s. So old school, old buildings there are nothing. When I look at this building here, this was built in 1927. Doing the math, being a math teacher, that's 90 years ago. So 90 years ago, think of the innovation, think of the forethought they had to build this building with this wonderful auditorium on the end. 90 years from now, we can do this all over again. You know, you have support of all the people around the counties. I know people that bring their kids here from Butte County, Nevada County, Colusa County, never mind Yuba and Sutter County. They love MCAA. I love Marysville Joint Unified School District. I would do anything for this. And if you need whatever you need, we would get the support. Just like I know when I was MUTA president, we had the MUTA support for not just Gay and the board, but for whatever building we wanted, and we helped pass that resolution, that bond issue, to get all the new gymnasiums at the school. You know, to be innovative, like I said before, you have to think what you need to do, what's going to go down the road. And I was thinking on the way over, what would we call this new building for us? It would be the Toddatorium. So is that a winner there or what? So now we have Gay Todd's backing. No, but seriously, you know you're going to get support for this one. And anyway, you have our support for this, and it's a wonderful school, and we have a wonderful district. I just took kids at Kynoch on a hike into Buttes today, and when other schools come, you know one of the first things they ask me is, how can we get over to Marysville to teach? That's the reputation we have, so... not just MCAA, but the whole district. Anyway, thank you. It's wonderful to see you all again.
Okay, Gary Enderton.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the board. As an ex-football player, I cannot imagine even considering not having a place to be able to play. And now that I have children that are not athletes, they're singers and dancers and whatnot, it's difficult for me to understand that they have to go through this and not have a place to follow their passion. And as an owner of a small business in the community and a taxpayer, I would certainly... offer both of those resources to be able to do whatever we could to have a good outcome here for these kids. I don't even begin to understand the issues. This is kind of new to me in terms of what's going on. I mean, I know it's the retrofit, and I know it's expensive and all that. But what I'm concerned about is that I see all these kids that have this incredible talent, and it's the only group of kids that I have seen in the last 20 years not be able to be a top priority for what they do. And I would like to, whatever action you take, temporary or permanent, what I would like it to be is something that tells these kids, we care about you, we care about your passion and your dreams and your desires and your goals. And I would like the board to keep that in mind as they move forward to make a decision. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you for those comments. Lance Bartmittler.
Hello, and board, thank you for the time to sit and listen to all the Marysville Charter Academy support that we have, students, teachers. I'm a parent of two. I'm a contractor. I met with Mr. DiGiulio. He was able to take a little bit of his time. I'm going to be building the set for the upcoming play, and the more time I spent talking with him about it and the more time I spent looking at what it's going to take, the more it dawned on me that this school's not going to survive without an auditorium. The comparison of a football field is great and a soccer field or a indoor gym, but what percentage of kids actually use those is really relatively small. If you take all the total number of kids in the school, maybe 18 or 20% actually use those facilities. 374 students at MCAA regularly used that auditorium. Every single aspect of that school was based in the heart of that auditorium. So to say it's not going to survive is a pretty sad thing. And these kids, as colorful as they are, like blossoming flowers in a huge, beautiful garden, would be like boxing them all up and stuffing them away so that they can't thrive and they can't be enjoyed. That being said, I also ask for the continued support as I endeavor to try to put a set together where it's going to rain, obviously, this season. We're going to try to make it safe as we can, but whatever support I can have in that endeavor, I definitely appreciate your taking the time to look into that and support that so that we can have a successful play this year. Thank you.
Nikki Kenner.
Hello, and thank you. Not having a theater for the MCAA students, there's 376 students. It has been very difficult for them since February. And I'm here today to speak out as a parent and ask if we can budget to repair this theater for these young people that attend this wonderful school. Having a theater means you, the board members, are committed in giving these young people and the community the resources needed to keep this distinct college prep school thriving in our community. I would hope that you could find a budget to repair or look into an insurance claim to save the theater. And thank you very much for your time.
Joanne McDaniels.
Excuse my voice, I'm getting over being sick. But while I was sitting here listening to all this, I looked up Shakespeare, All the World's a Stage. And for a long time, this community has groaned about the fact that we don't have the arts and the culture here. Like, everybody's got to go to Sacramento or the Bay Area. And the arts community finally, in the last 10 years, has grown. So we now have arts in this community. And how very, very sad it would be that this school would not be supported to get its facility that it needs to be able to survive and be a beacon of the entire community. We did not live in this area. I live 2.5 hours away from here, and I chose specifically to move here for my two boys to be able to come to this school because of learning about it in the U.S. News and World Report. So you don't draw students just from the local area. People know about it from outside the area as well. And I've got one son who's here now, one son who's graduated from here and doing very successful at USC in Los Angeles. And I have a background in theater as well myself and spent many years in the theater and media business. I learned world history through doing theater. This school and a performing arts center is absolutely vital to the survival of the culture in the Yuba Sutter area. Thank you.
And John Pimentel. Sorry, Mr. Pimentel, we're out of time.
I figured so. I figured that might happen. Thank you. Well, just to sneak a few comments in. First of all, members of the board, Superintendent Todd, other members of the district office, thank you for this opportunity. I first want to say thank you so much to the Board of Trustees for your support over the years for the Charter Academy for the Arts. As many of you know, I'm one of the co-founders of the school and was a principal for the first 9 years. So I have a real stake in this, so to speak. But thank you also, parents and students, for turning out tonight, community members as well. I really appreciate the show of support. I just want to say a few quick things. This is a unique and special school. There's really nothing else like it in the entire region. You have to go to Sacramento at least to find something like this opportunity for kids. And as you've heard from parents, you know, we draw kids from all over the area. So this is a school that really has made a difference and really provided a unique opportunity for students and parents over the years. So I think you have to understand that. You've heard about the academic as well as the arts accomplishments. We have two California Distinguished School flags on the walls here. We were nominated as a national Blue Ribbon School. So this is a school that's really done something for this community. You talk to real estate agents, and when they talk to people from out of the area, they talk about MCAA as an opportunity. And that's not to say that the other schools in the district aren't great, but MCAA is a unique, unique thing. And as was so eloquently put by our arts coordinator, Wendy Marks, in the newspaper today, the auditorium, our Performing Arts Center, is the heart and soul of the school. The school does not exist with a strong performing arts venue. So this is a crisis. It's a crisis for the school. It's also a crisis for the community because, remember, the title of that building down the way is the Marysville Community Theater. It is really unique, Marysville Community Auditorium. It's a 1,000-seat theater, and there are a lot of memories of people in this community that are here in this building and that were formed in that auditorium. So if in the near future there is a chance for a bond measure to actually put money into this building and the auditorium, I think you'd find the support in the community for that. There's a lot of memories here. But we have an immediate crisis, and so we have to look at two different things. First of all, we need to look at an immediate place to put some type of temporary venue. The South Auditorium, the outside venue, the Yuba College, yeah, they're there, but they're not really practical in so many ways, especially for the long term. I thought about, and many of you probably remember this, AK, Andrew Carperos, across the river there, had a temporary facility they used for their multi-purpose room, I think for 3 years. And it was a canvas-type building, had floors, it had pumped-in air conditioning. Something like that could work on a temporary basis, and I think it's worth exploring. And I just want to let you know, I am more than willing, and I know others, as you've heard from parents here, are willing to work with the district on finding funding for a long-term solution. I think we can find it through foundations, through corporate sponsorship, from the public at large. I know we can find it. So we need to be able to work with the district on finding a location. We have a design that was originally put forward by Michelle and Facilities several years ago that still, I think, is viable. It's done by one of the architects for the district. So we have some designs to work with. So we've got a step going in the right direction. So I hope that you will certainly consider all of the sentiment that's been put out tonight and look at both a short-term and a long-term solution. So, again, I think that's all of my notes. I'm getting pretty old here, so I gotta make sure. Anyway, thank you again for your support over the years. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you to all the speakers tonight. That was the last public comment card. I'll move on to superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Well, since Mr. Pimentel took my time, no, I'm happy to give it. I'm teasing. Yeah. Nah, it's okay. We're good. Thank you all for showing up here tonight. Your voices have been heard, but as you also know and recognize, it's not a small project, so it's going to take a Herculean effort. But I can see the passion is there in the audience and its magnitude by those who aren't here tonight. So the board has heard you very clearly, and we will continue to work together. So know that. Having said that, we have some new people sitting at the table, and I'm glad all three are here now. No, you had to sit with your assistant principal, I understand. Carrie Iles, the principal of Yuba Gardens, Brian Williams, our director of technology, and Nu Vang, principal at Johnson Park Elementary School, are our latest addition to cabinet, and so they will be joining us for the next few meetings, and so thank you very much for being here. Last week, I did ask the board to sign up for promotions and graduation, and tonight we have a request for a yearbook ad. So Lori Whitmore has asked if the board would sponsor once again a yearbook ad for Lyndhurst High School, and we do have a mock-up of a design, and they are asking for us to see if we would be willing to sponsor a half-page ad, which is $250. So unless I hear any major objections, which I'm not hearing, we have not received a request yet from Marysville High. Doesn't mean that we won't, but certainly if they do move in that direction, a nod of the heads will allow me to move forward on that. Uh-oh. So sorry.
Thank you all for coming. So, Dr. Todd, have we done that in the past?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Many, many years, so. Okay, and that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. Approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of 3/14/17. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent?
Yes, Mr. Boom, I would like to pull number one on Facilities and Energy Management Department. That's on page 7, the agreement with Jack E. Campbell Inspection for the Marysville Baseball Scoreboard.
Okay, so we're going to pull Facilities number one. Does anybody want anything else pulled? Okay, if nobody wants anything else pulled, we'll vote on the consent except for the exception of Facilities Energy Management number one. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Facilities and Energy Management Department number one. Mr. Rasmussen.
So I was just had a couple of questions regarding the scoreboard, baseball scoreboard, and noticing that it looks like we're hiring a DSA inspector for this project. I was just curious if it is a DSA project that needs to have that inspection.
So during our, Mr. Rasmussen, during our weekly coordination meetings, it's actually a project that's gonna be overseen by maintenance and operations, facilities, maintenance operations, and myself meet every Tuesday typically. And we evaluate each project about whether it's going to need DSA approval. We originally saw this, there was a consensus more or less that it was a replacement of an existing structure, which under interpretive regulation, I think it's 22, there's -10, there's an exception in terms of approval. However, when we got the blueprints, it seemed to be in a structure that was above and beyond what we thought was a mere replacement. So we wanted to take the extra precaution and reduce the district's liability and have an inspector present during the construction.
So when we say inspector, it needs to be a DSA inspector?
That is typically who has the standards by who we're governed by. So if there's ever an issue that comes up, we could say it was inspected. We did it as a precautionary measure based again on the a little bit expanded scope of what we initially anticipated.
So looking on page 105 in our special reports, again, just kind of curious, is there inspectors out there that are not DSA inspectors that could do this type of work that would be a little cheaper for us? Or
we only hire DSA inspectors because we're governed by the Division of State Architects. So regardless of whether there's approval or there may be an issue in the future, it protects us to hire only a DSA inspector because DSA is ultimately the one that may say, we have an issue with this structure. Oh, well, we had a DSA inspector that's certified by you guys to inspect this. So we wouldn't hire anybody but a DSA inspector.
So also looking at the contract, looks like some of the things that they, the inspecting services do, that they maintain a detailed daily inspection log. So, and I think it also says then that those logs are property of the district. So this particular inspector or any inspector then would have a daily log that is kept in some department?
Well, they're provided to us, so during the project. They work as our consultants, so we could, obviously, any work that they do in inspection becomes, just like plans, when we get plans made, we can get copies. And so on this project, though, it's a small scope project in terms of an inspector, so I don't know if there'll be daily logs. There'll be a few hours here and there.
So a few hours here and there?
Yeah, because of the scope of the project is not. For example, when you have, like we did the quad project at Lyndhurst, the inspector was on site pretty much every day during the summer for a full day. But this is a smaller project, so it should only be a few hours in total.
Yeah. So my assumption would be that he would inspect the footings, he would inspect the rebar, he'd inspect the cement, then he would inspect. At the rates that are given, we're talking about 14 hours worth of inspection at $960.
Up to. We don't know. That's just the not-to-exceed amount. Okay. Might not go up to 14. We always try, instead of coming back to the board, we try to give more than enough. So it might not end up being that. We'll do as much as needed. It just depends on the contractor coming in, doing the work, and how long it takes them to perform those works that they inspect.
So, Ryan, you had mentioned that this, was it this same inspection firm that did Increment 1 at Lyndhurst High School?
Yeah, well, the reason we went with this firm is he's been working on a consistent project, so he's already in the district, and so it's easy for him to cut a couple hours out and come over here for the scoreboard because it's such a small scope project. Otherwise, trying to get another DSA inspector that's out of the area for just a few hours would be difficult, so that's why we went with this inspector. But he's currently the inspector on increment to the HVAC at Lyndhurst, yes.
So the district then would have those daily logs from that were completed during increment one?
We can get records and provide.
Yes.
If that's what's needed.
Okay. And I was just noticed in the last meeting that we did an RFQ for construction companies that we could do. Is there such a thing that we would do like an RFQ for inspection services?
You can do an RFQ for any professional services. We've done them in the past for architects. We expanded our pool based on what we already had. We've done, the one we're doing, request for qualifications, is more of a mechanism to apply for state funding because, you know, we apply for hardship and whatnot, but you have to do a yearly, as we go to bid, a request for qualifications for general contractors and then mechanical, electrical, plumbing. So we do that on a yearly basis now to ensure a pool of contractors and subcontractors. So that's kind of become routine. In terms of the other professional services, we do them from time to time. We did one for audit services in the last couple of years. Financial advisor, we did one for.
Any idea the last time we did it for inspection services?
We haven't done it since I've been here. That's all. My knowledge.
It might just be only my recommendation that maybe we should do that just to make sure that we have a wide variety to choose from.
We can always issue RFQs for professional services. I do feel we've located somebody with the experience and a good rate, but if that's a process that, you know, the district would like to pursue again, because I think we're saying that maybe about 2009 they did that process.
Oh, okay. So I just wanted to clarify again, so those daily logs are kept, like for increment one on the Lyndhurst High project, that we could go back at June 12, 2000, whatever, and see what the inspector actually did on those days?
His work product is available to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? If not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve agreement with Jack C. Campbell Inspections.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. OK. Okay, that's the end of the consent agenda. We will move on to new business. Board of Trustees naming the field at Marysville High School War Memorial Stadium, the Glennie Harris Field. Is there comments, questions before we do a motion?
If there's not, then I would like to be my honor to make the motion to rename the football field the Glennie Harris Memorial Football Field.
Motion made by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Scott, and all those in favor.
Aye.
Six yes, and recognize the Harris family here tonight. If you guys have anything you'd like to say, feel free. If not, we understand completely. Okay, thank you very much for coming. It's an honor. Okay, Purchasing Department, Resolution 2016-17-16. Modular buildings, piggyback. This purpose of this item, request board approve the resolution to purchase various modular buildings through another public agency and approve options as needed. We've done this in the past. Mr. DiGiulio?
Yes, as we described during our facilities update in February, we looked at three different companies to provide a modular building to replace the modular type construction, prefabricated building to replace the portable restrooms at Edgewater. After careful consideration and pricing received from all three, we're going to go with American Modular Systems. They have a piggyback award through St. Rita Union that other districts have used in the state of California, and we verified with legal through purchasing department. So if this is approved, then the next item is the contract to actually make the purchase of that building. And then, as we discussed, it was something where we kind of get in the queue and then, you know, we're trying to get the building as soon as possible. But I think the anticipated date is around August at this point, based on their prior obligations to other districts.
Okay, are there any questions? I'm sorry, Kathy, I didn't see you back there.
Come on, Kathy.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Facilities and Energy Management Department agreement with American Modular Systems Incorporated for restroom building at Edgewater. Mr. DiGiulio.
Yes, so this, we modified our standard form agreement because it includes the building and the installation of said building. There will be some other construction work that will be handled separately. We don't think it will be over our bid limit necessarily, but we're working with the architect on that portion. When we get the building, in terms of hooking up utilities and converting from the other site to this one. But the main part of installing the building and whatnot is under our standard construction agreement. There's also long general conditions we don't include in the packet, but we have for the board to view. But it's pretty similar to what we've done on past projects.
And our hope is still early fall of next year of having this?
Well, our initial goal was to do it during the summer, but again, they're prefabricated. It doesn't mean they have stuff on the shelf. They have an approved DSA pre-approved plans, so they manufacture everything, and then because it's to DSA specs, you get an over-the-counter type approval from DSA. But they have a queue, like I said, as school districts are seeing this as a very viable budget conscious decision. A lot of districts are doing it, so we just tried to get in line and, you know, try to get as soon as possible. But right now I think the anticipation is August. To get the building, but you have the construction period,
right,
so
right.
You know, so, we're hoping.
Yeah.
Me and so we're hoping to at least have this done by Christmas break.
That's our hope. We always hope. We don't know with construction, as you know, some things like last year the quad at Lyndhurst, we got it done in the summer. It was beautiful, but we weren't purchasing obviously a prefabricated building. So, you know, it's always our goal collectively as a team to get it done, but. You know, we're working with a myriad of parties, one party being this company that manufactured them. So, you know, we're meeting on site, I believe, this Friday to try to finalize some stuff with the architect. So our goal, once we get that building, we'll work as a team to get it done.
Well, I would just like to thank the entire team for moving forward on this project to get it completed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. I believe Dr. Todd has a comment.
Yes. Tonight, the board took action to change the name, or to give it a name, actually, the War Memorial Stadium, now the Glenn E. Harris Field. We will be putting up a sign, and so we will do everything we can to get it done during the summer, and so we want to have a celebration. So please know that this is not the end of this process. This is just the formal action, and we need to get Glenn's name out there big and proud, and we want you all to be there. So we'll let you know just as soon as we have that ready to go. So hope to see you all there.
Thanks for coming.
Okay, and Mr. Fleury?
We're going to close the meeting in memory of Marilyn Kingsbury, a member of a long family here in Merrick. Marysville, they had the funeral this afternoon, so thank you.
Okay, that's the last item on the agenda. Meeting's adjourned.